There. Even remembered to turn it on. Well, today we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And our title is, Oh, That You Would Reveal Your Love. And I'm going to start by reading Luke 1, 26 through 38. And if you'd like, turn with me in your Bibles. And this is the story, this is the account of Mary, of course, as she's finding out that she's with child, or going to be with child. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. I'm going to stop for a second, and I just want to point out in those three verses, there's a few things in there that I want to note today that we're not going to spend a lot of time on. But the first is that Mary was pure. Her body was pure. But the second is that she was highly favored by God. And that's a point that I don't think we often spend time at, that we overlook it quite often. Can you imagine what it is to be highly favored by God? We're all here, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are favored by God. I want you to remember that. Verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. I know we've all heard, we've been told before, as we read this account, as we look through it, to put ourselves in Mary's shoes, to think of the weight of the things that were hanging over Mary. Put yourself in her shoes. And I like the part where it says Mary was troubled because the angel was there. And I can imagine I would be a whole lot more than troubled. I would probably try to run as fast as I can screaming because something supernatural is happening here. An angel has appeared to her and is telling her this. And as she hears this news, Mary has to be overwhelmed. But she says, How can this be? How can this be? For I'm a virgin. How can this be? And the angel says, Because God can do anything. And then it just says, Mary says, basically, okay. Sounds good to me. Let's do this. Really? That's the reaction we get? What? Put yourself there. Is that what you would say? Okay. so be it. Amen. Let's go on. Let's do this. I don't think that's what I would be like. But we should be. And we'll get to that in a minute. It has to be this crazy, this overwhelming feeling of joy. But then followed by, wait a minute, I'm not married yet. And I'm going to be pregnant. And society doesn't look very highly on that. Mary didn't ask any of those questions. Mary didn't say, hey, can you wait? That's fine, I'll do this, but wait 9 months till I'm married, or 6 months, or however long it was. Mary didn't say that. Mary said, God, I'll do what you asked me to do. And there's a couple other things in there that are important to note, and I already did the one, that Mary was highly favored of God. And it says she was pure, she had never been with a man, but it didn't say she was perfect. It didn't say Mary was without sin in her life, that she had never sinned. And I think that's another important thing that we need to remember, because God uses us as imperfect as we are too. And we are favored by God as well. Maybe not quite to the level Mary was, but we are favored by God, not perfect. But God loves us as well. Trent Butler puts it this way, talking of Mary, the recipient of a special blessing from God, she has experienced God's undeserved, unmerited grace in a special way. This does not change who Mary is or give her a status beyond other people. It singles her out as a special instrument whom God chose to use in his gracious plan of salvation. The grace Mary received was the presence of God. Mary got to carry Jesus in her. Emmanuel, God with us. God was with her. God is with us. And when Mary tells or hears this, I still love it and I can't get past it. Her response is basically, okay. Sounds good. And of course she runs off and tells Elizabeth. So you can tell there's some excitement there. You can tell there's a lot of excitement there. But her reaction is what our reaction should be when God asks us to do something. When we know that God's will is for us to do something, our reaction should be the same, whether we want to do it or not. Okay. So be it. I'll do it. If that's what you want, God, that's what I will do. And that was Mary's response. Mary was willing to do what God asked of her. Plain and simple. Mary was willing. And if we study elsewhere in Scripture and we read other accounts, we can see that yes, Mary was, her body was pure, but she wasn't perfect. But she was chosen. She was faithful. She was chosen because of faith. She wasn't chosen because she was sinless. She wasn't chosen because there was nothing wrong in her past. She was chosen because of her faith in God Almighty. That same faith that we have. God rewards those who are faithful. God rewards his faithful servants. And in the meantime, this whole story we're talking about today of Mary carrying Jesus and the Savior coming to this earth with our title that God would reveal his love. That's what this whole thing is about. Jesus is God's revealing of that love to us. The whole plan of our salvation. God loves us so much. And I know we've heard this, but God loves us so much that he sent his own son. That we can be redeemed. That our salvation lays in Christ. And that we can be pure and blameless someday in heaven. In front of God. That is God revealing his love. And his hope. And his peace. And his joy. God's complete love has always been in the birth, in the sending of Jesus, his son, to this earth. That is complete, and this pure, complete, and perfect love. And Jesus coming to this earth is just the overflowing of that love for us, the manifestation of Christ's love for his people, for his children. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus brought redemption for everyone. Not just the rich, not just the high class of that time, not just people of that time. But he brought redemption and salvation for the poor, for the marginalized, for the not so popular kids, for everyone. For the Gentiles and not just the Jews like they were expecting. Jesus is this the plan of God's salvation that was revealed all through the Old Testament coming together so that we can be forgiven of our sins. But also in that, not just the coming of Jesus and him dying on the cross, but he did something very important while he was on this earth. He showed us and told us and taught us what love is, what true love is, and how we are to act and how we are to live our lives. Jesus, if he is not your example that you're looking up to, and we all were going to miss the mark from time or two, but if he is not your example of what you should be or how you should be living your life, then you're missing the mark. Maybe even just a little bit, but you're missing it. But Jesus' words, I'm going to read a little bit about what he says about love. And it's Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And this is when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is. What is the most important thing we should do as humans, as people of God, as children of God? The most important things that we should do. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Put God above all else in your life. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 39, and the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Now I'm going to point out something, and I'm going to come back to it here in a minute. But when Jesus tells us to love God, to love our neighbors and ourselves, that is a command, which to me tells me that love is a choice. Love is a choice we make every day. We make a choice to love people, to love our neighbors. A little bit about love. You can't talk about love without reading 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love is a choice. We choose every day to love. We choose when God asks us to do something. We choose to say yes to that, and it's a response of love because we're choosing to love God. Mary chose to say yes to God because she loves him. And God knew she loved him because that's why he chose her. That is part of that blessing, that special blessing that Mary got from God. She was highly favored, not perfect, because she loved God with all her heart and with all her soul and with all her mind. That's what God is asking of us. To love him with all our whole soul and our heart and our mind. And if we're truly to follow Jesus and to be like him, and we have his love living in our hearts, and we should want to share that love. And part of sharing that love is being there for others and saying yes when God tells us to help that person or to do this for that person. And we all love stories. I'm hoping we do. I do. So probably the remainder of today, I'm going to share a story of someone revealing or hearing God's call to share that love of Jesus that was living in them to this person. This man I'm talking about now is grown, but when he was a young boy, and I'm not going to use any names, but when he was a young boy, very, very young, just starting school, his father died. Shortly after, his mother got caught up in the wrong crowd and was an accomplice to murder and got caught and was locked up for years and years and years. So this young little boy ends up back living with his grandma and his grandpa. And the town that they live in is a small, very small city, but it's surrounded by some larger cities, and there's very little work there, and it's very, very easy for kids to get caught up in the wrong crowd and messed up with drugs and just running with all kinds of things. And a young boy without solid parenting does not come out usually very well in the situation that this boy was being raised in. But his grandparents did the best they could. They loved him. Grandma, when she could force him to go to church, took him with her. But as he was in middle school, Grandpa, who was his greatest influence in his life, who he looked up to a lot, Grandpa died. And Grandma is not the youngest of grandmas and struggles to even raise him, but she was not about to give up. And Grandma did her best, pushed him through high school. And in high school, God blessed him with a few good teachers along the way that actually cared for him, more than just his education, but for his life. And I can tell you without a doubt, every one of those teachers had Christ in their lives as well. But he graduated, he made it through high school, and there was a lot of struggles through high school, and I'm not going to list them all. He struggles with learning, struggles with other kids. There was just all kinds of struggles, but he made it through. And the one teacher went to his graduation, and then a few days later found out that Grandma died. Less than 2 weeks after his graduation, his grandma died. They were having the funeral, and this teacher went to the funeral. And at the funeral, this teacher asked him, "What are you going to do now? What happens next?" And this young man looked at her and said, "I don't know." He says, "I don't have a job. I have my diploma. But my uncle gets grandma's house, and he told me I have till tonight to have my stuff out of it. Nowhere to go. Messed up, dysfunctional family is all he had left. And he had no idea where he was going." And without somebody sharing the love that Christ brought to this earth to him, I guarantee you without a doubt this boy would have been lost. But that teacher was there because God told her to go to that funeral. And while she's talking to him, she just hears the Spirit saying, "Take him home. Take him home." So they left that funeral, went back to his house, got all his belongings in her little car. And fortunately, this teacher was at a point in life where her children were grown, just moved out and starting their own family. So she had a lot of room. And she took him in. And of course, her husband was completely okay with it because they're wonderful, wonderful people. And they get back and he moves in with them. He's never been to this house before. And mind you, the teacher lives 30 miles away from where this kid grew up. So completely out of everything he knows into this other town. She helps him get a job through somebody else at the church they attend. They help him get into a technical school to get some more education, and he actually graduated, has a certificate, and got a good job in that field, mind you. But the whole time he is living with them and working, this couple is teaching him about Christ, taking him to church. It's kind of neat when a kid has nothing else to fall on, nothing, no other choices in life. When this couple says, the one requirement we have of you is that you go to church with us, they don't have a choice then. He goes. And it worked out very, very well because it didn't take him long to give his heart to Christ. And it was beautiful watching that all happen. It was just amazing to watch this kid go from where you know he's going to end up on the streets in jail or worse, dead, to being in church, worshiping God and giving his heart to him. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful to witness. But back to the story. While he's living with them, they're charging him rent. And so he's learning the value of work, of paying his bills, of being a responsible person. And that's something that when you're raised with your grandparents and they're older, they try and they're sick a lot, they try to do the best they can, but some lessons aren't learned that should have been. But he's got this good job now, he's paying his bills, and the time comes where it's time for him to move out. He's got his feet under him. A little house down the street comes up for sale, and he says, I'd like to try to buy that house. And they call the realtor, and this family helps him, you know, talk. He's never even bought a car in his life before worth any amount of money. So they help him through the process, go talk to the bank, and they get down to it, and he's all ready to buy the house, and the bank decides he doesn't have enough for a down payment. And that's when you've seen this couple just smile, and they looked at him and said, you're a great kid, and as a present for you, what we've done is saved every dime you've given us in rent for this very moment. Without showing Christ's love to that kid, to that young man, he wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have made it, and he is a great person and a productive member of society and an amazing witness of Christ's love. His life, the way he's made it through, that's what God calls us to do. That is loving your neighbor as much as yourself. That is doing what Mary did, and when God said to Mary, when God told Mary that she was with child, Mary says, okay. When God tells us to do something, that should be our response. Okay. Plain and simple, yes. Not even paying attention to the consequences or the things that will happen. Mary didn't worry about her friends snickering at her because she was pregnant before she was married. Mary didn't worry about all the humiliation. Mary didn't worry about going to tell Joseph and her, what's going to happen next? When she knew 100% that God was asking her to do this, she said, okay. Amen. So be it. That must be our response as Christians. When God calls us to do something, when he tells us to share God's love, and we know without a doubt, because there is that time of discernment when you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, is this 100% from God? And I'm praying about it, and I'm discerning. And as soon as you realize it is what God is asking you to do, your answer better be, yes. Okay. When you're standing there and you're talking to this young man who you know is not going to make it in life, and God tells you to help him, the only response we can have as Christians is okay. That is part of God revealing his hope, his peace, his joy, and his love to us. God has revealed all those things. All those things have been revealed to us. And it's been revealed to us in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we praise you and love you and just lift you up at this moment, Lord. And I pray that we pray that you will help us to recognize when you're asking us to do things for you, Lord. And as we recognize that, Father, I pray for the Spirit to overwhelm us and that we say yes and that we share that love that you shared with this earth over 2,000 years ago when you sent Jesus into this sinful place to save us. To save us from sin and hell. Lord God, thank you. Praise you. In your precious, precious Son's name, Jesus, we pray.